Well, Merry Christmas. It's good to be here. We make a turn this morning. After excited children have flitted about in this space as angels and shepherds, after safety pins and duct tape have done their work holding those costumed cherubs in character, after we've shared the familiar story of Mary and Joseph, and we've sung our carols by candlelight, after babes have been wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in mangers, and maybe for some of you, after wrapping paper has been ripped apart this morning to reveal the gifts given and received in the ritual of Christmas morning glee, today, here, we get this sublimely peculiar prologue of John's Gospel as we probe the dense mystery of the Incarnation. It's too much to angle in just from one direction. The meaning of Christmas will not be constrained by the limits of our human imagination, nor can it be confined to just this one spin of the earth. Today we set sail full mast into the Christmas season, 12 days, that is the fullness of time, inviting us to revel, yes, and ponder also, because neither act, reveling or pondering alone, can sufficiently plumb the fathomless meaning and mystery of God's gift to us, to the world. That incarnate love has come among us, dwells with us. There is nothing prosaic about this feast. Our words must take on poetic heft to even approach the mystery, which is why we hear once more today from the Gospel of John and his proposition of grace and truth, and light overcoming darkness. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Fleming Rutledge says, as we stand in this cold, broken world, we may not be able to warm our hands by this passage the same way we might with hearing of Jesus born of Mary in that little town of Bethlehem. But nevertheless, there is remarkable beauty to be gleaned here. And not just the doctrinal morsels served up by the ancient councils of the church, which drew heavily on this passage from John's Gospel for their authority. What does it mean that the Word speaks? In some ways, our words fail us. Because while they are symbolic in their meaning, as they represent something else in the experience, they are not that which they signify. So let me give you an example. If I say the word apple, you might be conjuring up a red, round piece of fruit. But the word, strung by the characters A-P-P-L-E, is not the fruit, right? This is all more the case when we speak of mystery, and we're trying to use our words for that, and especially divine matters, our ground of being. The word we most often use is God, but imagining God is a bit harder than imagining an apple. We need symbolic language, which must be poetic as it strikes our ears and our hearts in a way that stirs our souls, that strikes the tether line between our very being and the source of all being, so that we resonate with the cosmic hum of divine delight. In one sense, words are merely air passing over flesh, causing it to vibrate. It's what's happening. Air passing over flesh, causing it to vibrate. But there is no need for words to be spoken unless they are shared, unless they are heard by another. Anthropologists say language would not have ever developed if humans were solitary. Their meaning comes from the communal experience in them. It's the same for the Word about which John speaks. The Word was with God, the Word was God, a communal experience. And all things came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. Or another way to say that, nothing resonated with that cosmic hum of divine delight without the Word's infusion of grace and truth. And if we follow that thought experiment, then we can conclude that everything that exists resonates with that cosmic hum of divine delight. That's the gift of Christmas, folks. The Greek word in this passage we translate word is, of course, logos. The notion of logos had been buzzing around through ancient philosophical conversations for 500 years when John wrote it down here in reference to Jesus the Christ. Logos operated in a very strict economy of symbolic language as a principle of order and knowledge. But in that realm of logic, it was bound by the constraints of human understanding. The radical idea appropriated and presented to us by John in this poetic trope takes it to a whole other dimension, unbound by human limitations, and we must be willing to let it reside in the realm of mystery, even if those church councils back when wanted to parse it out with doctrinal arithmetic. There's nothing bad about that, as long as we know that that will never deliver all of it to us. It can't. We cannot render God's nature generally, or the mystery of the incarnation specifically, to a taxonomy of human understanding. It breaks down. It won't work. And yet, here we are, my friends, on this Christmas day, using our words the best way we know how, to strike courageously on the chords of divine grace and truth that come as gifts to us day by day, and especially on this day, with the Word made flesh. And we trust the Spirit's air passes over our flesh in vibrant joy as we give our voice in our own right to Emmanuel. That incarnate love has come into the world. It's Christmas, my friends. And you and I were created, we exist to resonate with that cosmic hum of divine delight this day and always. And thanks be to God for that. Merry Christmas. On this feast day of the church, we stand as able and affirm our faith that we share with Christians throughout every generation by saying together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Down.
In Christ, God's word has become flesh, dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. Let us pray to the true light, which enlightens the world, asking that all creation may receive grace upon grace, saying, what has come into being in Christ was life, and the life was the light of all people.
Clothe your church with the garments of salvation, and cover her with robes of righteousness, that we may be your witnesses to testify to the light. What has come into being in Christ was life, and the light of all people. Inspire the leaders of our nation and all in authority in the ways of grace and truth. What has come into being in Christ was life, and the life was the light of all people. Be light in the darkness for all the world, O God, that the fullness of your heart may be made known for the healing of the earth. What has come into being in Christ was life. Live among us, O Word made flesh, and reconcile this community to your light. What has come into being in Christ was life. May your people be a crown of beauty and a royal diadem in your hand, as we pray in faith for all in any need, especially those we now name, either silently or aloud. What has come into being in Christ was life. Hear our gratitude for your glory manifest among us, especially for those joys we now name either silently or aloud. What has come into being in Christ was life. Receive as heirs of eternal life those who have died, especially those we now name, either silently or aloud. What has come into being in Christ was life.
Loving and gracious Creator, from the beginning you have brightened our darkness with the light of your life. Let your vindication shine out like the dawn and your salvation like a burning torch, that your word made flesh may bring grace upon grace to all the earth in the power of your Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.